Well, we'll get to those testimonies in just a moment. So excited on a Thanksgiving weekend. Not only last weekend, the five testimonies and baptisms, but again this Sunday, another five testimonies and baptisms, expressing again what Christ has done in our lives. I worked at a grocery store as a teenager. That was one of my first jobs that I ever had. And during that time in the grocery store, I had to do a lot of stocking shelves. And I did that with a lot of cans. The cans of soup, the cans of Alpo, the cans of corn, whatever it was. Oftentimes when we would stock those shelves, they would have no labels on them. The labels either fell off or something happened to those labels, where we would just put in a grocery bin and people could get those cans at a discount. Now, we didn't label those cans. And so those cans could have had anything in them, but you got a super discount. I mean, like 90% off. But the objective of it was you would play Russian roulette with the can that you were getting. You may get Alpo, or you may get corn. See, labels make a difference, don't they? We like to see what we're getting. God, in His providence, has given His church, and when I say His church, I say those who profess to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, two ordinances that label you publicly that you're a Christian, that you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Those two ordinances are communion and baptism. The Bible makes it very clear, do not get baptized and do not receive communion if you're not a believer, because it makes no sense. You do not identify, you do not label yourself something that you're not. Baptism, which we will see this morning, once again, is that label. It's that opportunity for these individuals to publicly declare, I am a Christian. The baptism doesn't make them a Christian. The baptism is the label, a public label, like wearing a ring. It's a symbol that says to those who are watching, I identify with Jesus Christ. You don't have to wonder about me, whether you're getting corn or Alpo. I want you to know I'm a Christian. And at High Point Church, we do something where we give a public testimony. But the baptism waters themselves is that identifier. And to those of us who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's a great opportunity for us to listen, because baptism serves two purposes. Number one, it shows the believer that obeying Jesus is always the right thing to do. And as a follower of Christ who still struggles with sin, I need this reminder. Doing what Jesus says is always better, even if it's difficult. Even if it seems like it might be embarrassing. Doing what Jesus says is always better. And then secondly, the baptism is a testimony of obedience to these witnesses. Baptism to them and to us is rehearsing the gospel all over again. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is everything to us. When they do this ceremony, when they do this ordinance, this practice, what they are rehearsing is the very gospel that they put their trust in. And it's a very rehearsal, and it's also a very public demonstration of the gospel to us. Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection should mean everything to us. So I'm thankful for these five individuals, because I'm very forgetful. And as we go into the Christmas season, as we kick off the Christmas season, like we do for Easter, by God's grace, We often have baptisms and testimonies leading up to Christmas, and we have baptisms and testimonies leading up to Easter. And we've been doing that for the last 12 years that we've been a church plant by God's grace, because we are forgetful, aren't we? We're going to go into this season, and oftentimes Jesus is further from our thoughts and realities. So in you five individuals, thank you for the reminder this morning. I need the reminder to be grateful for the most important thing that I have that has been given to me by Jesus, and that is the gift of salvation. So with that, let's bring in the testimonies and listen to what Christ has done in their lives. So, Ava and Zach, you're first. Ava and Zach Byers, I'm going to get Zach up here first. And like a good brother, your sister's coming with you. You can just talk, buddy. It's all you. You got it.
My life prior to salvation was filled with sin. I did a lot of things that I regret, and I constantly had the constant urge to feel cool in school. I seeked others' approval and did things I know were wrong, and I had been to church before, but I never understood the message because I was really young. I told people I was atheist and I would never believe in God, but in my head I always felt I was missing something. Circumstances leading up to my salvation, I think the first thing that told me I needed to change was an incident with my grandmother. I was working with my dad at our farm, and we had a sort of an argument. And I went to the office, and I talked to my grandma. And she told me that a line that stuck in my head, that she doesn't want to see me in orange like my biological father. She was crying. My grandma has beat cancer twice, or beat cancer once, and she's battling it again. So, and she still works on the farm every day. She's really strong. And so that kind of came and hit me. Seeing her cry gave me a moment that I'll remember forever. It made me evaluate myself. I told myself I needed to be better for myself and for my family. Around November of last year, we started going to High Point, and I observed how happy people were when they were saved. Same month, I started going to youth group, where I met my best friend for the first time. She was great. She was a great example to me and showed me how amazing it feels to be saved, and it made me want to be saved. My salvation experience, this summer, I attended summer church camp, and I learned about Jesus and how he saved us for our sin. And the last night of camp, we were all singing in chapel, and I felt this extreme happiness and sense of togetherness. And that same night, I proclaimed Jesus as my Savior, and I realized that Jesus died for my sins, and I was saved. The next time I went to church, I felt an extreme sense of comfort. I felt like I belonged. I felt as if I had noticed at work and school that I just felt overall happier, and like a new person. And I feel overall better about life knowing Jesus Christ is my Savior.
Praise the Lord, man. Praise the Lord, Jack. All right, Ava.
In the beginning, I knew who God and Jesus were, but I never, like, had them as part of my life. As a family, we didn't attend church, and I didn't learn that we live in the grace of God. The first step was when I spent the night at a friend's house. They gave me a copy of the Bible. I started asking my parents about going to church. Through church and youth group, I started to learn that Jesus died for all of our sins. The things that inspired me to be saved, well, going to children's church and attending church camp and attending my dad's baptism. Going to children's church helped me learn about God's grace when I realized Jesus died for my sins and would always be there for me in the good and bad times. Attending church camps helped too. Being at church camp reinforced what I was learning in children's church. and to always trust in Jesus. Attending my dad's baptism at High Point, it made me really happy seeing that my dad getting baptized. We spoke afterward, and I told my dad I wanted to get baptized. I was nervous, though, because I didn't think I had a story to tell. My dad told me that I will eventually have a story to tell. But these stories to tell if I have already. But these stories already accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. During church camp, I started feeling not good enough, that I wasn't good enough for God. I realized that I sin and that Jesus died for me during children's church and church camp. I am so thankful that he died and rose from the dead. Since accepting that Jesus died for my sins, I have been happier, except for when I am grumpy and I argue with my parents. I feel less fearful. Dealing with school, new things. I also think of the positive, not just the negative.
Amen. Ava, great job. Great job. Praise the Lord, Zach and Ava. Ava, I mean, you're telling me once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, everything doesn't become rainbows and butterflies? No, oftentimes God uses suffering for us to be a testimony to those who don't know Christ and who we put our trust in. So thank you for that testimony, Ava. And Zach, thank you for your transparency and honesty. All right, Nelly and Juan, come on up. This cute couple. Who gets to go first? Oh, dear.
Hi, good morning. Okay. Hi, my name is Yanelli. My husband, Juan, and our daughter and I have been coming to High Point since August. It has been a really good experience coming here. So, my life before my salvation was the world. I felt alone. I was trying to find joy in things that kept leaving me unfulfilled. I felt like I was okay. Fine, living until the next day. When I got married, I realized God has always been there for me, and as long as I could remember. Sometime in the summer, I knew that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. He died for our sins, past, present, and future. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now I have a new type of joy, knowing that I matter. I'm not just living. I am a part of God's plan. I have a new purpose in my life. I have peace knowing Jesus has and always will be there for me. He will not forsake me. Deuteronomy 31:8. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. I have internal peace knowing that I am saved. Praise Amen. The Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Where's Rose? Oh, I was going to say, if Rose was here, she'd be hallelujah and that all over. Great job.
Hi, my name is Juan. I want to start off by thanking Jesus for dying for my sins. Mm-hmm. I am a sinner. I used to walk in sin from a young age, thinking it was normal. I was desensitized to it. I thought it was normal. I would constantly turn to sin when I would face struggling situations or for no real reason. I used to drink all the time to escape. After the passing of my grandpa, I just felt empty and disconnected from the world. Like something was missing. I would go through my days with no real purpose. Over this summer, I had started to feel better, but without any purpose, I started sinning more often. It became easier. I began distancing and disconnecting from people until one day I suddenly started to feel convicted of my sins. I talked to my wife about what had been happening. Afterwards, I just went to my gym and started having this great, clean feeling, something I couldn't describe. It was amazing, but at that moment, I didn't know what I was feeling. I was strong to read the Bible and pray more often. I even started gardening. I started appreciating all the blessings that are through Jesus. I felt I needed to go to a new church, even though I had multiple invitations. My friend's wife invited us to High Point, and we decided to give it a try. After being here, not even 3 minutes in, I started having that same feeling again, the one I did before, that great overwhelming and clean feeling. After coming here a few times, I realized one day that I needed Jesus to be saved. One day, it just happened. I accepted that Jesus died for our sins. I repented and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Ever since that day, I feel that overwhelming, great feeling way more often. Looking back, I was always a believer, but I didn't know Jesus. I was afraid that if I learned more, that I would be held more accountable. A verse that really helped me open up and want to always learn and glorify Jesus is Psalm 23:4. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. I look forward to coming to church and talk about Jesus, spreading his love. I look forward to getting to meet more like-minded people.
Amen. Great job, buddy. I know how nervous both of you were, and you did amazing. Nellie, Juan, God bless you both for what God's doing in your life. Rick, come on up, buddy. Yeah, you're first, so you're right. Bring the towel. Here, I'll hold the towel for you. There you go. All you.
That'll be fun.
Yep.
Well, good morning. First thing I want to do is say thank you to Greg for all the love that he's shown for our family and everybody here. He just seems to love everybody and show Jesus' love that way. Laura, too. Thank you.
Praise God.
Now, you have to bear with me just a little bit. I'm a physician, so I can't write very well. Yeah, and I wrote it out twice, and I still can't read it. my life prior to salvation is a kind of a pretty simple story. When I was growing up, I grew up in a Catholic home, but it was kind of what I describe as a lazy Catholic home. We'd go to church on holidays and some Sundays. We didn't have any sort of really religious upbringing in our home. We just went occasionally, and that was kind of it. So most of the time when I was growing up, I was kind of on my own. We weren't really exposed. I was the sixth of six kids, so we didn't pay it. Oh, thanks. I was the sixth of six kids, so they didn't really pay much attention to me. I was kind of the quiet one, and the other kids were more the squeaky wheel. That's kind of how I lived my life. But then where salvation really kind of started in my life is when I met my beautiful wife, Jeannie. Our story kind of has to go in concert with each other. The journey to faith and believing that our God died for us and for me, for my sins, it took a while. It was kind of one of those things where over time you see these series of events and then you look back in time and you can see what they meant and how God used those things to bring you to a certain point. When Jeannie and I had met, she was kind of alone too. Her family was her mom, dad, and brother had converted to an LDS faith, and she was kind of alone there. And I don't know that how much religion or how much she was going to church at that time, but when we met, life changed, I think, for both of us. We met after a huge monsoon. in Arizona. And then about 11 months later, we were married. Life changed very quickly. We became kind of a unit quickly. We were working together. We started our family early on. The first one was our Courtney. And we're just kind of working through. I was going to school. I went to Arizona State University, and I got a BS in psychology, which makes sense if you knew my family. Time went on, though, and God put these challenges in front of me. I didn't realize it at the time, but he was kind of wooing me at the time. And then I decided after graduating that I was going to go back and go to medical school, which meant 2 more years of school with pre-med classes. That put a lot on Jeannie. She was raising the kids at home. I was still working a lot. I took on more and more challenges at work, going into more and more things with medicine, and that wooed me into that. So after a couple of tries in the pre-med, I got into medical school. One place was in Chicago, and one place was in Des Moines. Chicago wasn't going to work for us. We had a family, and that was just a high-rise apartment with no elevator. That just wasn't going to work, so Des Moines it was. So we moved here, and we were blessed to move into a duplex with Tim and Melanie Wrights, who weren't able to make it today, but they were a strong Christian family. And over time, as things changed, Tim invited us to go to his church, and his pastor was a very strong believer and preacher, and he would preach the gospel very strong, to the point that when you left the sermons, you felt very convicted of your sins. And as I was exposed more and more to his preaching, I understood that I was a sinner, I was always going to be a sinner, and I had a desperate need for salvation. And that's kind of what led me to believing and having faith. And as time went on, I became more and more at ease with reading the Gospels, seeing that they were written to me and for me, and that I had to grow through them. And as life went on with our children and our family, I think that's, I guess, it brought home how much it was important to be involved with the Gospels and bringing those into my own heart. Again, I can't read this stuff.
Just flipping them.
Just flipping them. Just random. So, well, this is what kind of led me here, is that conviction of sin. And again, I know I'm a sinner. I'll always be a sinner, but I know that God loves me. He died for me. I repent of my sins. I sin, and I know that I do these things. I know how foolish that is, but I also know how weak I am and that he's going to be there for me. God is stronger than me. He's stronger than death. And the blessing I have is that I get to be with him forever in heaven. I'm his and he's mine.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, thank you very much.
You did great, buddy. You did great. Good job. All right. We're doing this.
Okay. Climb in.
Let me. I don't want to get soaked here. So, yeah. Do you want your glasses on? Okay. You can jump in. No, do not do a cannonball. Sorry. Yep, face that way right there. Sorry, I'm trying to take off my shirt just so I don't get soaked. All right. Rick, I rejoice in your salvation testimony, brother. I rejoice that you have placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. And it's a privilege, my friend, to baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. There you go. I'll give you your sheets back.
Oh, thank you. I'll get them right away.
There you go. Just head right through there. All right, man. Yeah. All right. Juan and Nelly, come on up. All right, Juan, you go on that other side, and I'm going to have Nelly come up here, and we're going to both baptize Nelly. All right, you want to baptize with your glasses on? Are you all right with that? Okay. Okay. You got it? Yeah. Hey, you can thank Jeff Johns for that. You want to put your feet forward so I don't break your knees here. Nellie, based on your testimony and your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, it's a privilege, my sister, in Christ, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. You can dry off and back there, or you can wait for your husband. All right, Juan. Go ahead and sit down and put your feet that way. Juan, based on your testimony and your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, it's a privilege, brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There you are, my man. With his socks on, all right. Zach and Ava, take off your socks. He's not going to do it? All right, he wants his socks on. All right, bring it on. Praise the Lord. All right, let's let your sister go first. Ava, let me have your towel. Why don't you jump on in? Mom and Dad, do you guys want to come up? Be a part of this? Or you got it? Me? All right. We're going to scoot you up a little bit. Ava, based on your testimony and your faith in Jesus Christ alone, I'm going to have you let go of this, otherwise you won't go under. Based on your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, it's a privilege to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Great job. There you go. Jump on in, Zach. There you go, bud. Great job. Zach, based on your testimony as well, of your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, it's a privilege, my brother, to baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. All right, there you go. Why don't you please stand? Why don't, to the glory of God, let's give all those individuals a round of applause. If you get an opportunity before we leave to encourage them, to give them a hug, to give them that encouragement as a follower of Christ, I'm certain that you are just as blessed as me. And the great challenge to go forth is to live out exactly what we placed our trust in, Jesus Christ alone. Amen? Let's sing one last song.